Hello and welcome. Today is, what is today? Today is April 17th. It's our Thursday 1 p.m. class. Something funny is the dates definitely escape me. Time feels so irrelevant lately. I don't know if any of you are having that same experience. I would love to hear that from you. But time is really very mystical right now, and somewhat vague, I guess you could say, the more we get into this year. I was talking to Loretta the other day, and I said, "Yeah, can you believe I'm here? I'm only here a month." And then last night I was looking at dates and I was like, "No, that can't be true. That's not true." And then I was like, wait, there is a Monday, the 24th in March, but I don't recall leaving on March 24th. Maybe it was February, and then I looked in February and I saw that there is a 24th, a Monday on the 24th of February, and I'm like, wait, I can't remember when I got here. Did I get here February 24th or did I get here March 24th? I still don't know. I'm gonna say probably March. I'm probably here 2 months already, but it just is like my recollection of time is changing. I could say that. I don't know if any of you are feeling that way. I would love to hear. But I can honestly say that it seems kind of irrelevant. And what is funny is it seems as if I've always been here, right? I feel like I've always been here, have never lived anywhere else. I don't feel like I ever lived in New York. And it just is very interesting, the dynamics. Hang on a second. Somebody is having an issue with so it's kind of interesting how the whole time dynamic just it seems so different. It just, it's a very different situation than what it's been in the past. And so, I don't know. It just feels like I've always been here and no place else. Is anybody else feeling this that way? Can anybody resonate with that feeling? If you want to come on and share on it, I would love to have you do that. No, nobody else is. It's such a strange feeling. I can't even explain it. It's like this feeling of emptiness when I think about the past or when I try to associate myself with, New York. Like I have m memories of places there, but it doesn't feel like I lived there. It feels like I visited there. Like I took a vacation there and I went there and I visited there. And it doesn't feel like I've ever had experiences or lived with anyone else. It feels like I've always lived here, in some way. So I don't know. This is something that's really very, very new. I feel like as the old templates are being wiped from our field, we're going to start to experience this more and more. And you might also feel like each day, is isn't like a brand new day. Like you get out of bed and it's like, oh, I'm doing the day over again. You know, I get to do the day over again, almost like a Groundhog Day. And sometimes it will feel like that, right? These are the new dynamics of these higher influxes of light that are coming in. And the other thing that I can tell you is, sorry, Lasagna sees somebody outside and he's being very protective of the house. And good job, good job. And so the other thing that I'm noticing is I feel like everything is talking to me. Does anybody else have that? Like, I feel like everything is talking to me. Like, I go out to the coop where the chickens, the quail, and the peacocks are, and I feel like everybody in there is saying something. Like they have something to say, right? They're talking to me. My interactions with Bella are almost like it almost feels like she's a human in a cat. Like I'm like, okay, I'm no longer connecting to and talking to a cat. I'm talking to and connecting to a soul aspect, right? Like it's very palpable, you know? I call her, she comes. Like I'll ask her to do something, she does it. It's vastly different than it's ever been before. And so these are like new experiences that I'm starting to notice. Waking up in the morning or waking up in the middle of the night from a dream, it's almost like now the energy feels like as if I was to walk through a room that had a curtain. It's almost like I feel like I'm pulling the curtain of one reality away as I walk into another reality. So I want you guys to be more aware of what you're feeling, you know, in your day-to-day experiences, because it's really getting very interesting and very, very different. Right. And like having these moments of awareness and a sense of knowing, which is why I'm always pushing you to, you know, trust yourself, trust your intuitive, innate sense of knowing, because it's how we develop ourselves, our higher sense of intuition. Right. Sue is saying she's feeling all of this. Yeah, you should all be feeling all of this. You should all start to be feeling it and sensing it, you know. The other day, this is a funny story. Well, it's not funny, but it's an interesting story, I'll say. The other day, there was a problem in the chicken coop. Let me go backwards a little bit before I tell you the story. So I was supposed to have a client on Monday at 2:30. I finished my other sessions and my client said, I'm not feeling well. I think I'm coming down with a migraine. I'm going to have to reschedule. And I said, okay, no problem. Because I know anytime that happens, something else is needing my attention. And so I gathered up my art stuff and a book I'm reading, and I went out to sit under the pole barn. And I bought all my stuff outside, and it was probably about 10 after 2. And I hear this unbelievable cackling coming from the chicken coop. And now, when the hens lay eggs, they will cackle because they're proud of themselves and they're letting everybody know they laid an egg. And, you know, it's like, bah, 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 you know, and it's a different kind of cackle. But this was terror. This was terror. And so I dumped my stuff and I ran to the coop. And when I looked in, the smaller of the two chickens that are in there, her name is Sunny. The smaller of the two chickens that were in there, the whole top of her head was all bloody. and all of her feathers were missing, and a small portion of her comb, you know, the thing that the red thing that sticks up on the top of their head, right? Not just roosters have them, chickens have them too. It's called a comb in the front. And so her head was bloodied. The whole, like she had been scalped, the whole front to the back. And I saw her in the back corner hiding behind the feed bin, which is very big. It's very tall. It's probably about a foot and a half or almost 2 feet high. And I saw her with her head ducked in there, but I saw the male peacock going to the other side, around the other side of it where her head was. She didn't realize she was still not safe. And I saw him peck her head. And I ran into the coop. And I tried to get her out of that position and see if I could catch her, but she was just not having any of it. She was in fear. When I looked at her mouth was open, like she was panting, her eyes were dilated. So I was like, I have to get help here because I am new to chickens, don't know what the hell I'm doing, and I don't want to make the scene worse. So I ran out, got my phone and ran back into the coop and managed to corner her behind me in the corner. And this peacock was still coming for her. So it was like me putting up the big hand, stop right there. Do not come any closer, right? But he was fierce. He was like, you know, gonna go around me. I'm like, dude, I'm gonna get a stick. I'll get a big stick. I don't want to hurt you, but I'm gonna get a stick so that I could just keep poking you so that you can step back, you know, because I didn't want him pecking my hand. And he was coming in for that. He was just being super aggressive. So I called Joe's uncle because obviously Joe's at the academy. I can't reach him and I wouldn't do that to him because I don't want to disturb his studies and he was taking a test and everything. So I call his uncle, who, bless his heart, picked up the phone immediately and he was like, I'll be over in an hour. And I hung up and I stayed in the coop with her. This story has a lot of purpose, so just bear with me. And so I stayed in the coop with her and he showed up probably about 35, 40 minutes later, driving to the coop with his pickup truck with a big dog crate, one of those big plastic ones, right? Not a metal one, but a big plastic dog crate with hay in it and two small feed containers, one for water, one for food. And he managed to come into the coop by me and catch her while I was holding off the peacock. And get her out and put her in that crate with some food and water. And then we put her out in the big shed so that she could be isolated and hopefully heal. I had a couple of you sending her Reiki that first night because we weren't sure if she was going to make it. She was pretty badly beat up. I think had I not had my client not canceled their session, right? Everything has purpose. Had my client not canceled their session, I am positive she would have been pecked to death. She would have died. Positive. She was in that bad of shape. And so the next day, she was, you know, bounced back and she was doing good. And then yesterday, I went out there to see, you know, how her improvement was. Hopefully, she was still with us. And I looked in her crate and she laid two eggs. So, yeah, right. Even though she was in distress, she still managed to lay some eggs. And so I thought, wow, that's amazing. You know, and she was standing on her feeder and she was right up front and she was bah, 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 cackling, bah, da, 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 you know, screw, like going on and on and on. So when she moved to the back of her crate about an hour later, I was going to go in and clean the poop and clean the hay and stuff. But when I opened the door and reached in to get, which I had cleaned it the day before, and she was fine with that. She charged at me because she wanted out. She was like feeling better and she's ready to be out and about, although she doesn't want to go back into the main coop, into the big coop, and feeling back to her normal self again. And so I was happy with that and just left her be, right? Just left the eggs in there, left the poop in there, and just let her be. We'll figure it out when Joe gets home. And he can deal with it on Saturday, and we all have clarity with what we're doing next because we have to figure out construction for another coop so that she does not go back into the big coop, because I'm sure he's gonna continue, because turns out that now is mating season. So whatever happened in there, maybe her being like a weaker type of chicken or whatever, he just took it upon himself to peck her, and so we're not wanting to have that again. But the interesting part of it is, and this is important because this is what's taking place right now, is that the day after all of that went down, Joe's uncle and I had made a pact. We were not going to tell Joe. We were going to wait until he got home to say anything to him. This way he wasn't thinking about it while he was at the academy. And so Joe texted me the next night and he says to me, hey, he's like, you know, I keep thinking of this person. They keep crossing my mind. And he's like, I can't figure out why I keep thinking about them. He's like, there's no reason for me to be thinking, but they are just running in my head, just like just constantly popping up, flashing and everything. And I know who he's talking about. And it's his friend's wife. And I said to him, I said, well, I know she makes sourdough, right? And he's like, yeah. I said, you know, is she on that homesteading vibe? And he's like, yeah. And I was like, does she have chickens possibly? And he's like, yeah, she has chickens. And I'm like, yeah, okay. So you're not tuning in because of her. You're tuning in because of what happened with the chickens. So then I told him what happened. And I was like, it's all under control. She separated. Your uncle took care of it by putting her in the crate. He was like, wow, you saved her life. I was like, yeah, we both did what we had to do. She's good, whatever. So then he was like, he goes, you know, he goes, that's interesting because I no longer feel like thinking about this person. And I'm like, yeah, because it was simply the connection to the chickens, and your intuition was telling you something happened with the chickens. But you would never associate me with chickens because you've never known me to have chickens. Do you see how that worked? So he said, wow, that's powerful. I said, yeah. I said, and unfortunately, because we didn't come into this world with any kind of a user guide or a manual, we don't really have a user guide for how the intuition works. So you wouldn't know that you needed to play the game of Pictionary and What's My Line and all these other game shows to figure out what your intuition was trying to show you by you flashing on this other person, but you were flashing on a woman, I said, and who had to do with chickens. So that was in some way trying to line you up with me, who you would never associate with chickens, because until I moved here, I never had them. Do you see? So he said to me, goes, oh, he goes, I can already feel the feeling of needing to think about this friend leaving. Like I don't need to think about it anymore. And I'm like, right, because you resolved it now through talking to me about what happened. Now your intuition doesn't have to be on alert. And now you can focus on the academy and not why do I keep thinking about this person, right? Like, what is happening? Are they going to die? Is something going to happen to them? Because that's what happened with a friend of his. He kept having this bad feeling about the friend. The friend ended up having a massive heart attack and died. But it just shows you how the intuition works, right? So even though I did not say a word to him, his uncle did not say a word to him, his intuition was picking up there was a problem at home with the chickens. And this is just how it's going to be. It's going to be this way where we're connecting in on something, we don't know what it is, and if we're not taking a step back to allow the intuition to bring us the rest of the story because we're stuck on why we might be thinking about this or thinking about that, we're not going to get the closure that we need, right? Does that make sense to you? Because that's what we have to do. We have to step back and not be so proactively looking for the answer. Like it will come if we're stepped back, right? Just like I knew something unusual. I don't know birds, but it felt unusual in the coop the day that I went to sit outside, and yes, there was something not right there. So it's just all about the feelings, right? So
So this was a question I almost emailed you before class. And this kind of leads into the question I was going to ask in class today. So I have a friend, and like we haven't seen each other for months, and through her, I connected to this really good new friend who is going out with her son, my son's friend. So anyway, like my friend has been in the what some people term the freedom fighting movement.
okay.
Like I don't like labels, but she labels herself and her group like that.
Okay.
So like we just haven't been resonating for a long time, like for several years, but
Well, that's an aggressive energy, right? That's a very
yeah.
actionary energy. So if we're more sensitive, which you are, and more intuitive, we're not going to align with that aggression, that actionary. So go ahead.
No. So, like, she has sent me videos over the past few years, and they're fear-based. They're about what the government's doing, what might happen, that kind of energy. And so, like, I hadn't heard from her for a long time. She hadn't been sending me videos because I was ignoring them. And then all of a sudden, she sent me another video and it was kind of fear-based. And I thought, well, I feel like this is, oh, somebody's out my door. Okay, I'll ask my question in a minute because it's somebody who has to pick something up. Okay.
Okay, go ahead. So it's important for us to not ignore what we're feeling, right? These insights that we're getting, even if they don't make sense to us, it's important for us to not ignore them. When intuition is lighting up, even if it's something that does not make sense to you, the best thing that we can do to counter that would be to actually let go, breathe through. Let go and surrender to the fact that I'm thinking about something that's not making any sense to me, and just let it go. Because when we let it go, we're no longer offering resistance to it, right? The discomfort that we're feeling thinking about it, right? Like Joe was thinking about this person, it felt very uncomfortable to him. He was like, are they gonna die? Is something wrong? I don't know what to do. Do I reach out to them? Do I reach out to the husband? I don't really know what's going on. And so in a case like that, if you're overly focused on it, it's that attention, that focused attention will not let it go away, right? The more we focus on it, the more it comes to us, the more it gets pulled to us. And the more we focus on it, the more resistance we're offering it, because then we're in the we're in the feeling of frustration that it can't be resolved. So the best thing that we could do would be to just take a break from it, right? Just be like, okay, so I'm thinking about this. I don't know what it means. I have no resolve for it. I'm open to receiving more information from the universe. I allow myself to be a conduit for some additional information to come through, and I'm just going to allow it to be what it is. And in doing that, we can then pull in more information for ourselves on what is, right? Eventually, something would have flashed, or another alignment with chickens would have popped up for Joe, and maybe he might have said, I don't know, this thing with chickens keeps coming up. Is there something going on with the chickens?" And then it would have been an opportunity to say, "Hey, by the way, there was an incident with the chickens," right? The more we can pull ourselves away, the more we can detach, the more information we will ultimately get, receive, gain. So I think it's important for us to have that in our awareness that, it's up to us to create an environment where our intuition can thrive, right? Instead of an environment where our intuition feels like it fails us because we don't know how to properly navigate it. And you know that this community, one of the things that I've always focused us on is the idea of being our own navigator of our reality, right? Harnessing our own intuition, because we don't want to be reliant on anybody else for that information. We want to be reliant, self-reliant, right? We want to be able to intuit from our own sense within, as opposed to outside of ourselves. And we've been operating like that ever since I started this community. Okay. And so as we get into the deeper talking points here, which we're going to talk about the energies and all of that in a few minutes. You're going to start to see that we're always ahead. We're always ahead of the timing of everything. We're always ahead of the game. We're ahead of where humanity has been standing. We're on the forefront. That's why this community is not full of hundreds of thousands of people. We're a small group of people. That gets it. We're a small group of people that comes together with a higher level understanding, with an awareness to what is needed at this time on the earth, right? And within ourselves. I mean, there's no escaping it, because as we head into the next phase of this evolutionary energy that we're playing in, it spells it out very clearly. As we shift from Pisces into Aries, that it's all about the self, and we take the vision off of the idol that we have given ourselves over to, right? The people that we've placed on pedestals, the ones that we feel like are the only ones with answers, right? That's why we never approach life that way in this community, because we all need to be, you, me, myself, everybody needs to be self, let's see, self, sov the sovereign nature of self, right? Looking within to maximize our experience within ourselves, to have the answers for ourselves, instead of going out there and looking in this one and looking in that one. I so many times get feedback from people, a lot of times, most of the time, people that are not, coming on the live call, but they'll come back and they'll be like, I attended this person's class or whatever, and I thought the information was going to be more high level than maybe what I get in class here, but it just doesn't play out that way. It doesn't work. it doesn't work out that way. And I say, well, the one common factor in all of that is that a lot of people out there are operating from the idea of I'm the only one with the answer, right? Or this is the only way that it can be. And I see that over and over and over again. But when we come to understand and realize that all of that out there really means is that there are so many different timelines we can choose. There are so many different there's so many different ways that we could navigate our reality or look at the reality, right, from different perspectives. That's all that means. So when we connect with somebody and we think this person has the answer, and then we listen to what they're saying, and then that resonance that we thought we had that was exciting in the first, 10 minutes or whatever, and then kind of starts to dissipate, and we start to see that really we're further along, right? I'm speaking as if I was going into another class, further along than I thought I was or where I was, right? We have to come back in and give credit due where it is, the credit within. Does that make sense to you guys? Right? So we can do that. We can point outside of ourselves, and we can look to other people for what we think is greater information or clarity. But then what ends up happening, which is always interesting, because this is really all it is that they are choice points in timelines that we can choose to align ourselves with. But one of the things that I try to do here, I mean, I try to do my best with it, is to align us with the highest timeline possible, right? That we could be navigating in our reality. So my hope is in that me doing that, this is kind of selfish in a way, but my hope is that if you do wander and go someplace else, for a class or whatever it is, that you will have a self-actualized realization that you're even more higher aligned than the person that you're learning from, right? So, and that is important for our own personal evolution, is to understand that where our goal is to consistently be in self-awareness so that we can have a realization of where we are in every moment, right? Which is why we always talk about gatekeeping our thoughts so that we're in our highest state of awareness concerning the thoughts that we're thinking, so that we're able to then use that to influence the field and create the reality that we truly desire to have. Does that make sense? Yeah, because that's really where our power is, right? It's not in giving it away. It's not in, going to that next best anything, right? Because, I mean, I remember years, and I'm talking, I want to say 2013, because I was still on Facebook back then, right? 2013, with this guy who was down here in Florida somewhere on one of the beaches. He's this real hippie guy. I can't remember his name. He was a real hippie guy, and long hair, out in the sun all the time, whatever. And he was talking all this ascension stuff, and he was talking about having dreams of these big waves. And he was getting everybody so influenced by the idea of like waves, that people were like, oh, I had a dream, we had a tsunami, and three waves came in and they wiped everything out and whatever. And it was interesting to watch the dynamic of all of that unfolding, because to me it was like, well, could it be maybe waves of energy, and it's not going to be like physical waves coming in and wiping out all of Florida or the eastern coastline or any of that, and now you look at it, and then you look at someone like Dolores Cannon, who talks about the three waves, and her her interpretation of three waves is three waves of the ascension teachers, right, or the ascension ambassadors. And the first wave starts as this, and the second wave are going to be these people, and the third wave are going to do this, you know. And so it's really important to have that awareness and understanding that, you know, everybody's interpretation of what is to come or the expectation of realities is going to be somewhat different. But, you know, we need to really tune in and see what is our truth, what's true for us. Well, back then, I was still on Facebook in 2020 when the whole COVID thing went down. And I had, you know, I had made a couple of different, you know, statements or whatever, and people were rallying around the way I was thinking. And there were a lot more people that were against the way I was thinking. But the people that were rallying around the way I was thinking were like, you know, we should get out, we should march, we should protest. You need to be our leader, you need to put this together and whatever. I'm like, that's not my thing. That's never going to be my thing. It's never going to be what I feel aligned or called to do, right? But it's a task that somebody could take on. It would be something somebody could align themselves with, but to know our reality and what is in flow for us, that's the most important thing. Me always being really present for myself and feeling into what's next, like when it was coming time to end my living situation in the last house, and me knowing that that timing was coming like literally a couple months after moving into that house and going like, this is coming to an end. It's got to come to an end, right? And then watching that starting to escalate as the end was starting to come near, and then all of a sudden the dramaticism that played out that created the ending, and knowing, right? But like there could have been that resistance to that and going, no, can't be. And then me moving here to Florida and moving into a living situation with her and the daughter, and I would have been off my timeline completely. I would have been off my timeline so badly. That's why it's so important for us to really sit within ourselves and say, where am I anchored into? What is the reality that I'm here to play out? Right? And it's gonna feel confusing moving forward because of how the energies are intensifying. So we are really needing to have an understanding of all of this so that we can always be in our highest alignment with what is true for us. I hope that makes sense. Right? Sue, do you want to come back on and ask that question?
Yeah, that was interesting timing. So it was actually one of my stargaters who rang the doorbell, someone in my group. And she works at a daycare. She's a director at a daycare, and I opened the door and she was wearing a unicorn headband. It was so sweet. So my main question is, how to support and also stand in my power. So where I left the story was, hadn't heard anything from this woman for months, and then she sent me a video. Was, you know, it had fear energy to it, and I just thought, I really like to stand in my power with this. So I said, none of the videos that you send me resonate with me. Oh, and I said, like before that, I said, I love you, I always will, and none of the videos that you're sending me resonate with me. And then she said, I love you too. And that was that. And I hadn't heard from her for about a month. And then today she sent a link to a video. It was an interview. Like, she knows all about Nick and his addiction and his recovery. And it was about how the drug, whatever drug you take is not the problem. It's like your nutrients and all this other stuff. And I felt loving energy come through with her sending that. Like it's not, I think of things a little more in an expanded form beyond nutrients and, you know, but I mean, it's all part of it. It's all perspective. So just questioning how to support her, because I know she's still in like an energy that doesn't align with me. So, yeah.
You know, to be honest with you, Sue, I feel like it's an opportunity for you to just choose where you align with, right? It's an opportunity for you without feeling bad, without feeling like you have to compromise yourself. Okay. And one thing that you have to remember is we're not going to be able to include everybody in our world or in our realm. And it's okay to feel like this person just doesn't fit in. We're really starting to define right now. We're starting to define what is true for me. What is true for me? What resonates with me? Who stays in my world? Who goes? What am I creating in my reality? What does that look like? What is the vibe I want to create? And one of the things that we have to remember, which is why we do the astrology in this community, I don't get overly focused on it or overly kooky with it, but one of the things that we have to remember, and when we do the next half of this, you're going to be like, oh my God, this explains everything, right? Like it always does. It always does. But one of the things that we have to remember is that we, not we, Neptune, right? The energy of intuition. It's about water. It's about emotions. It's about intuition, right? Heightened senses. Neptune just went into Aries on March 30th. And why am I saying that? Because we are going to talk about this Neptune shift, right? Neptune hasn't been in Aries in, I think, 186 years. So we haven't seen this. I don't know any of you are 186 years old. I don't think so. Sometimes I feel like I'm 186 years old, but I could tell you I have not experienced a Neptune in Aries before. Now I have an Aries moon. Okay. And I'm curious to see how this is going to play out in my reality with my moon, because I'm very, very, very have always been too tied to the moon's shifts, fluxes, and flows, right? But one of the things that we have to realize is we're coming out of the age of Pisces and coming into the age of Aries as far as Neptunian energy goes. And Aries is, if you don't know, Aries is the first sign of the zodiac. It likes to be first, it likes to be recognized. It's a fire sign. So I jokingly, lovingly say, Aries likes to shoot first and then ask the questions later, because that's the nature of the energy of Aries. And so, but it's a great sign because it really encourages us to dive into self. It encourages us to put the self first, which is what we're going to be encouraged to do. But going back to your question and this person, it's not a surprise that they're popping up again because, without understanding or knowing what sign they are, it seems like this shift of Neptune into Aries is catalyzing something for them. which is making them feel a need to reach out again. And if it was me, and if I was you, I probably would just send them either a smiley face back or a thank you, a general thank you, or a thumbs up, or something like that. I wouldn't get overly involved because you don't want to open that pathway of that door, because this shift for them, if they were that fighting for the cause kind of energy, that's going to make them more in the cause, right? More in that volatile energy. So I wouldn't necessarily encourage that. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and that was my feeling. That was my guidance, just to send back a little bit of love and just leave it at that. It's interesting. Is she Pisces? Her birthday's March 12th.
Yeah, Pisces.
And it's funny because this friend that I met through her is an Aries, and I spent part of my afternoon with her and another Aries yesterday.
Okay.
And it was very windy, and they weren't liking the wind because the wind gets fire going.
Yeah, well, all right, so let's do the astrology before we do the earth energies. This way we can really round this up and maybe come to a better understanding about this. So I have some notes here, so I'm gonna read from them because it's a lot. All right. So we are making history on the earth right now with this Neptunian shift into the sign of Aries, because this transformation, this transition is 186 years in the making, right? We haven't had a Neptune in Aries before. So I've been looking at all different astrologers to see if anybody really has any insights into how this is going to play out. And really, nobody has much to really go on except for how this might be playing out in a way of the nature of what Pisces brought to the table, and also now what Aries will bring forward to the table. Now I could say that from an intuitive perspective within myself, that much of it resonates, but also much of it is left to be, seen how it works, because I feel like even though Aries is about the self, we do have this big placement of Pluto in Aquarius, which is about the all, right? And Pisces energy has been about the all, which is why we saw such an uprising with inclusion and everybody wanting to feel included, and the unrestricted freedoms and movements and things like open borders and work from home, and like COVID gave us a lot of that, right? Because it was the shift that, if you look at the idea of Neptune being in Pisces, which is the last sign of the zodiac, so if Neptune is in a sign for 14 years, which is what it's going to be in Aries, it's going to be in Aries for the next 14 years. If it's in a sign for 14 years, it went through the whole zodiac in the sign in a 14-year span, each sign, okay? And now it's resting in Aries, which we have not experienced. We've experienced other signs, but we haven't experienced Aries, right? So we're going to be experiencing that now. So to know exactly how it's going to impact us, not so much, but the 14 years that it was in Pisces from the beginning of when it entered into the sign of Pisces, and Pisces is a water sign, so it kind of loved the idea of Neptune being in Pisces, right? It was feeling pretty at home there and pretty at flow. And then what happens when you give water to water? A lot of expansion, right? It's like the ocean. You put water in the ocean, and what does the ocean do? It expands because it's water to water. So there's a lot of expansion there. So here you have, this huge shift that's going to be taking place here, which is going to be enormous. But in the sign of Pisces, the change that was taking place, as we, as we looked at what happened from the beginning of when Neptune went into Pisces to the end of when Neptune was in Pisces, the themes were interconnectivity, spiritual unity, right? We had a lot of spiritual everything happening, right? The idea that we're all one, no separation, but it was still separation if we were talking about Black people or white people or Asian people and Spanish people, right? Like the idea of that separation and inclusion was still not clear because that's Neptune. Neptune is not clear. Sometimes it has on the rose-colored glasses. So we were seeing themes like that, where the trends were the idea that we're all one with a vast melting pot, right? Dreams, ideals, and also illusions, right? How did Pisces emphasize the Neptunian energy by dismantling the borders and making it possible for everything to flow into each other? Isn't that the nature of Neptune water and Pisces water? Everything was flowing in and out, like the waves coming up on the beach. It didn't matter. There was no structure, there was no stability. And now we're in a time of cleanup and structure and stability and, closing down the borders so that we can figure out what's what and what we need to do and where we have to go from here and how to make it better, right? So Pisces, the theme for the last 14 years has been globalization with, limitless boundaries. And the amplified feeling of having no boundaries. So we have to look at the different themes and how they played out. And, a lot of people were fighting for that, fighting for the feeling of being limitless and being in the freedom, but not realizing that was going to come with a cost. Okay. As Neptune went through Pisces, some of the things that we saw were, as I said, the dissolution of the borders, right? They just had no border patrol, no border control. The idea of acceptance and inclusion of everybody, the increase of migration and cultural, multicultural integration, with regard to the internet and social media and e-commerce, it all exploded, creating a borderless digital world where anyone could connect from anywhere and share anything and sell globally. And we also saw the need for structure and stability in office settings go away, where this unlimited resource with the idea of the digital world being so expansive and unlimited. We saw work from home, right, with remote employment. And then a lot of influencers popping up, leading to breaking traditional job structures down and, work identities shifting. We also saw a lot of excuse me, a lot of changes within the infrastructure of what was being presented on things like YouTube and Netflix and Spotify. And then we saw those conglomerates trying to control what was being presented, right? Because all of a sudden everything was so limitless and expansive that they imposed algorithms trying to restrict and force a structure, but that people just found a workaround to all of that, right? So that all changed. But now we're talking about going from Neptune in Pisces to Neptune in Aries. What's the theme going to be like going forward the next 14 years? We're probably going to be going from that globalization, that freedom network, the freedom infrastructure, to a more sovereign state, as the energy of Aries likes the idea of the self, the introspective. Effectiveness, right? That like trusting who I am over what is presenting in the reality that's out there, because can I trust it? Right? So with Pisces, we saw everything dissolve, we saw a lot of surrender, and we saw the collective in action with those actionable steps to what they identify as freedom, right? That's an identity that was a marker in that 14-year window. Aries being the first sign, we're seeing the idea of individuality, the spark of sovereignty, the spark of life, right? Where we, the themes here would be more about asserting ourselves and defining who we are, defining our identity, understanding what we need on a personal level to survive, right? Pisces was dissolving and creating an ocean, right? Dissolving the boundaries, creating a vast ocean, combining the waters, and said, we're all in this together. We're either going to sink or we're going to swim. Let's all do this together. And there was that uprising that said, yeah, we're going to do this together. And then everybody just jumping in to be in that likeness, right? Like follow the leader energy without even realizing who the leader was or what cause you were standing for. I saw a lot of that taking place, right? People not even understanding what they were standing for, what they were fighting for, but they were there, but not understanding. Now, this energy is going to push us back into the sovereign energy, the me, the individual. I'm a unique individual, and I'm going to find what makes me different from you, and I'm going to find a way to self-empower myself, right? Which is why we're always working in this community toward understanding our own personal timeline and what we want to create for ourselves, as opposed to joining the masses and creating from that ocean perspective where everything is kind of muddied and muted, and there's that everybody's handing out rose-colored glasses. We don't want that. We don't want the rose-colored glasses. We want to see with greater accuracy so that we can create the reality that we're truly desiring. So this energy, on a personal level, is going to shift us from seeking connection with something greater than us, that we assume is greater than us, or something outside of ourselves, and have us reshaping our identity, discovering our purpose, and stepping into a more active role within our lives, as opposed to leaving it up to someone else for control. And I mean, we could even see that with the government too, how like the last, and I don't want to get into politics, but the last office before the office that we have now, the last office, everybody was just, giving up their rights, letting free rein happen. A lot of things got signed into office, taking away freedoms and rights because people were in the idea of freedom, not realizing you have to manage your freedom. You understand? You have to manage your freedom. You can't give away your freedom, right? You can't think, oh, I'm going to have freedom. I'm going to have limitless borders. I'm going to have all of this. And then you give up the freedom, you dissolve the borders, and then you let people in who are going to rob you, right? Which is what was happening along the border lines. And then people that live further away from the borders were like, no, don't stop that. We want them to come in. We want them to feel free to come here. And the people that were at the border in those houses are like, yeah, but my house has just been robbed twice. And you still want me to be? Yes, because it's for the good of the all. Right. So it was very muddied. It was very confusing in Pisces because it wasn't, it was like, you know, that water to water is like, let's just be expansive. We're not going to control it. We're just going to let it figure itself out and let it happen. Now that it's going into Aries, it's like, no, we want structure. We want borders. We want to fix this. We want to give ourselves a really good structure to operate from and then figure out who the hell we are. And this way, we're going to move forward under autonomy as a collective, moving better in an alignment that's going to be more suited to the needs of the all, instead of allowing the one to reign sovereign or to rule over what is, right? So we have to be really careful with this. And it's all. Yeah, I hate to say it. It's all in the stars. All we have to do is point to astrology and look and see what's going on. We don't have to take it so personal for our lives, but we can look at the outer planets and see what's going on with the outer planets that's happening in the collective. My feeling always is that when we look at astrology from too close a perspective of self, right, and we start to follow it in the guise of it leading the way because it's telling me where I should go or what I should do, then it's the same thing as being told where to be or where to go, as opposed to intuiting that and creating the reality that you desire. Right. So we don't want to get too caught up in the astrology that we're using it to navigate our day to day, but we do want to be able to look to it to see, you know, what is taking place on a grander scale and how do I fit into that placement, right? How do I fit into that perspective? Which is very important to us, right? So this is going to be a pivotal time where we're going to start to feel called to reshape our identity, discovering purpose, stepping into more effective role as ourselves, less watching, receiving, and drifting. Remember, that's all water, right? And more doing, asserting, and creating. Creation is definitely a must. It is a must. I don't care who you are. When we are creating, we're accessing those higher states of gamma, right? And that's why some of us are feeling so headachy, so body achy, because and we're experiencing those high states of gamma, right? When we're in that creation phase. So we want to be there, but we also want to take care of the body in ways that are going to help us move beyond the pain body, right? So leaving Pisces, we're leaving the blind faith that somebody else is going to handle it for me or somebody else is going to fix it for me, and more coming into my own to be the hero of my own reality, to be the one that is governing my own journey, right? So you're going to start to notice people are going to start to come out of the fog. It'll be interesting to see, Sue, how this person is going to align moving forward as they start to recognize what they were looking for, what they were voting for, what they were championing for, may not be in their best interest, right? We're going to start to notice that with people starting to wake up to noticing that and making a conscious shift that's going, wow, you know, that was actually me handing my power away to others who were threatening my freedom without me even realizing my freedom was being threatened, right? So this is an important transition. We're in a very, very important pivotal point here, where we're going to start to see the infrastructure of countries, states, nations, counties, whatever, redefining their structure and authority. Okay, because remember, this is on a collective level. We're going to start to see this. We're going to start to see what we weren't looking at before. Think about Pisces energy and the law enforcement not being able to enforce shoplifters stealing up to $1,000 worth of merchandise, right? I don't know if any of you witnessed that, but I witnessed it. These guys running out of a CVS and running into their car. And as I pulled in, I pulled right back out again and thought to myself, I'm not shopping there. They just robbed the store. I'm not going in. I'll go someplace else. Okay. I witnessed it with my own eyes. Nobody's doing anything. That's Neptune in Pisces. Right? We're all in this big love fest. We're going to let people do whatever it is that they want to do. It's okay. We've got on the rose-colored glasses. I don't want to be a bad guy and point out what's wrong here or there. But Aries energy says, no, this is not good for me. It doesn't work for me. Them stealing up to $100 worth of merchandise is just going to make prices go up to make it harder for me. I'm already working hard enough. I don't want to work harder, right? Pisces is coming back to that consciousness, that truth of self, right? Hey, this is my money. They're stealing my money literally, and now prices are going to go up and I have to pay more. No, I'm putting my foot down. That's not going to happen, right? We're going to see the Pisces. We're going to see the Aries shooting and then asking the questions later, right? Because that's Aries energy. So Neptune and Pisces is gonna present a lot more clarity and a lot more restructuring of what needs to shift or change, right? Letting us establish or reclaim what sets us apart. It's okay because these nationalist movements and local first economies and missions driven by personal or cultural authenticity has to come back to and for community. It has to come back to and for community. Can't be about what the individual is look wants anymore. It can't be about one person having complete reign or complete control over everything and everybody, right? That's the water again. We put Neptune in a water sign and it becomes muddied, right? We can't tell what's what because it's all looks the same. But now water is going into fire. Neptune is going into the energy of Aries, and we're going to be seeing things from a different perspective, right? So the inference here is going to be on the idea of pride, which we're going to see is going to be interesting because the United States is going to be celebrating this year its 250th birthday. Right, 250 years of United States birthday. So talk about pride and individuation, right? It's going to be bringing back to that, but it's also going to be about not letting another fail, right? Showing the way something can be made better, can be made whole, right? And bringing that forward so that we're not, it's not, everybody is not swimming in this sea that's kind of got no delineation of what's what, right? Which is where we're coming from, right? So we're going to see a lot less of one size fits all as we are starting to see more of the authentic expression of self coming forward, right? A lot more discovery. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if if we had real space missions, not this Katy Perry and company nonsense that we are forced to look at as if it's, there's any reality to that, right? But you know, it would be interesting to see if they explore, you know, maybe deep sea travels, something like that. I don't know. What I am feeling very much is the idea of going off grid and self-sufficiency, right? I'm seeing that more than ever. I'm feeling that more than ever. Like the idea of not being on YouTube, not being on Instagram, not, you know, having to post my life story, that all feels very liberating in a way. Okay. And I feel like we're going to see more of this happening. We've seen a little bit of it, but because Neptune was still in Pisces, it really couldn't come to the forefront. Now we may see a lot more of this coming forward, right? Feeling self-empowered. The idea of community, but in a sovereign way, everybody pitching in, you're nobody looking to one person to doing all of the work. That is something that we can expect going forward. Okay. And more of that I could see in self-sustainability. As the economic system changes, this is where we're going to see all of the change. It couldn't really get going under the Pisces influence, right, with Neptune. It needs more structure in order for us to see the economic change, the medical system change, the education community change. It couldn't really reach a peak under Pisces. It needs the Aries structure in order to do that, right? Now, some people are touting, oh, Aries is a war sign that has Mars in it. It's the god of war. I'm really afraid that we're going to have wars and stuff like that. Well, you know, we could speak to that literally, but we could also speak to it metaphorically and say it doesn't have to be war, but what it can be is we stand aground, right? Like with the borders, we could stand aground finally and be like, no. That doesn't work for me. I'm not allowing this anymore. I'm not allowing this to be an open border situation. I'm not allowing this to be for people to just take what is not theirs and then it has a negative impact on everybody else. We're not allowing this anymore. We're not allowing China to be the only source of import in our country where nothing is made in the United States. We can't buy anything from Canada. We can't buy anything made in the United States. The only places we get anything from is Mexico and China, right? And so with Aries, that's gonna change. It has to change because the source has to come back to self, okay? So this is where we're going to see a lot of this start to change. Aries wants it to come back into self. It wants it to come back into home. It wants it to be more rooted in its sovereign state of being, right? Which means that we have to start seeing these companies, the production of goods and services manufactured back in the United States. Canada see the production of goods and services manufactured in Canada, right? We're not seeing that. Everything is coming from China, right? Nothing against China, but it's not helping our economies at all, right? So this is where we're reclaiming our autonomy. And like I said, it doesn't have to be war. It doesn't have to be violent. It can be in a creative, conscious state. The nature of it could be very conscious. Okay. So we will see that Let's see. Now, one thing that I noted here that's very important is because this is a major turning point for all of us, it can feel a little chaotic. And certainly the energies that we've been playing in these geomagnetic storms are not helping at all because it all goes hand in hand, right? It has to amplify the state of chaos in order for us to start asking questions so that we can come back into our sovereign state of being, okay? And there might be a little bit of crazy feeling moments. We may feel it, right? We're not participating in the outer reality. Remember that. So we're not watching what is, collapsing, burning, or anything else. But Saturn is also gonna join Neptune in Aries, and Saturn is the planet of lessons and structure and tasks and all of that stuff in May. So when Saturn goes into Aries in May, we may see a lot of this stuff come to, fruition that have been playing out or that have been talked about, like the restructure of the financial system, the restructure with the tariffs, the restructuring with these companies that are now shutting down factories in Mexico and establishing factories here in the United States, right? It's going to be like that all over the globe as every country is going to have to take their sovereignty back. It has to, because that's Aries' nature to make that happen. Okay. So we're going to see this, and it's going to be very, very important because it's going to be a true paradigm shift where we're going to see the movement going through the Aries age of this Neptunian energy of local government importance, decentralization of power. Like, there's not one person that's in charge, everybody is responsible for themselves, right? The chain supplies are going to change and shift. I just said that a minute ago. There's going to be just difference in, like different fragmentation of like the mass government structure into smaller fractions, right? That more making it more personal. Like, nobody governs over everybody. Like, we're all responsible for ourselves. That's what's coming. That's what Aries wants. Okay. And so it's gonna be this big shift for more independent work. We're probably gonna see more online business coming on. Branding, right? If somebody I'm seeing it, there's this girl who's got cows and she's become an influencer with 500,000 followers because she has a big white cow named Snow, and she's always doing something with it, and she's someone that's a little overweight, so she plays on her weight and her interactions, and she calls herself a bad cow bitch or something like that. And now she branded that as her new company, and you can get her t-shirt that says, "I'm a bad bitch girl," or "bad bitch cow bitch," or something like. So people, and I'm saying this to make a point because people are doing this. Okay, look at the sourdough community, how they capitalized on sourdough. Now, I will say I've made sourdough. I've eaten thousands of loaves of sourdough. No, not that many, but I've eaten a lot of sourdough. I don't know if it's any better for you than any other bread. What I will say is you can make any bread, and it probably will be better and healthy for you as long as you're making the bread with whole ingredients that are going to be healthy for you, as opposed to eating some kind of crap produced with chemicals that's got 30 ingredients in it, and you're only cooking something with four or five ingredients, right? I mean, that is the difference. So It's about caring about ourselves. And that's what the sourdough community did. They made it so that, hey, you should be making sourdough. Why? Not to get on the sourdough bandwagon, but to just show a little sense of, self-care, right? Like, I'm important, I'm worth it. Okay. And that was a great part of the whole sourdough uprising. I mean, that in itself is so empowering, so important to start paying attention to our food, what we're putting in our body. See, that was Neptune coming out of Pisces and heading into Aries, which says, hey, I'm important. I need to pay attention to what I'm putting in my body, right? That's that whole shift. And this is where Neptune in Aries says, stop with the false idols. Don't idealize anybody else, right? The idea of idolizing somebody else has to come to an end, right? We're not going to idealize the president. We're not going to idolize YouTube influencers. We're not doing that. If we're out there doing our thing on YouTube or newsletters or whatever it is that we're doing, Instagram or whatever, community, whatever, we're doing it because we are in love with humanity and we care. And we're sharing from a caring, compassionate heart. Okay. And one thing I will tell you is I do not trust the numbers on YouTube. So don't pay attention to that because none of that we can trust, right? I mean, everything is getting fudged with now until that shifts or that ends. I just wouldn't pay any attention to it. So with this Aries change, we're becoming our own source of spiritual authority and reclaiming spiritual autonomy. We are responsible for our beliefs, right? And it's those beliefs, ideals, and aspirations that create and form our reality. So again, if you go back to the very beginning of this conversation, you'll hear me say how ahead this community is because we've been practicing this for the longest time, right? That's one of the things that if you looked at my birth chart, you would see that I am ahead of my time in a lot of what I teach. And it says it right in my birth chart because we're always going to be on the cutting edge. We're always going to be the leaders. We're always going to be the pioneers of where we're headed or what's to come. We have to be. We cannot be, subject to somebody else's philosophy. We always have to bring it back and say, is this true for me? Does this resonate with me? Okay. Instead of waiting to see how it plays out through somebody else. Or with what somebody else is offering us. We could take some of that in and say, well, that sounds like or feels like true for me, right? But let me see how that sits. I'm going to marinate on that and see if that really resonates with me. What we should be doing now is we should be looking for ways to heal ourselves. We should be looking for ways to create healing within the body. We should be looking for ways to self-empower. And bring into sovereignty our authority as our own personal healer. Okay. And I know some of you are doing that. Arlene has a class that she's doing that's a 6-week class that's, very, very informative. If any of you want to join that, you just reach out to her. And I'm sure that even though you missed the first two, you could still get on the next four. And I know what Sue is doing too. Sue is bringing community together with the Stargate community, and that's something that she's very passionate with. And she's got her thing going on with the herbs. A lot of people out there are doing some really good work. Loretta's in the community teaching classes, teaching art, and connecting and supporting in that way, right? We're all kind of transiting from these very corporate jobs from the idea of having to work a certain way. I know Holly has shifted what she's doing, how she's working with the products and with her clients and nutrition and everything. It's not the normal mainstay anymore. We're making these decisions based on what we're feeling called to. What are we feeling called to? What is feeling appropriate for us? Okay. What are we being pushed forward to bring forward and align with? What does that feel like? How is that being represented by you? Right. Some people, let's see, Sue's saying, Terry is starting to say he is considering still working, but no longer to be in accounting. Yes. I mean, that's what I'm saying. I mean, we're looking at the infrastructure of business and seeing where it's not aligning with us, not fitting with us. I know you've all been going through that. De I know Debbie's been dealing with that and going through that with some things with her husband. He's starting to have this awareness that, beating himself up in a 10-hour day on his job is not where it's at. And the idea of enjoying life more is bringing greater reward. And, she's making some fantastic pottery and who doesn't need pottery? I mean, let's get rid of the dishes that we're buying that have lead in them and come back to the basics of what is good and what is whole. I mean, obviously, there could be a need going forward for, some real wholesome dishware. I mean, that is definitely a possibility. I see that in the future. And not only that, but it serves to give us something to barter with, right? Like we're all having these moments where we're having alignment with what can we offer? How can we barter? Really bring up our A game and step out of that 3D environment, that 3D vibe that has us locked into like a 10-hour day where we're not enjoying our freedom. I mean, I'm seeing so many more people talking about, not waiting till 65 or 67 to retire and encouraging a lot of accountants encouraging people to retire at the age of 60. And I'm all down for that. I think it's a great idea to retire early, and if you can, and do something on the side, do something that's creative on the side, do something that makes you happy, that makes you feel good. If you have the money that you can, do something that really makes your heart sing, and you don't have to be a slave to the corporate job. You're stepping out of that 3D world into the 5D world, coming into something that's more in alignment with who you are and where you want to be. So I think it's really important for us to, have this as our awareness, right? For who we are, where we're going to next. Does that make sense with everybody? And we're going to see more of this in the age of Aquarius, in the age of Aquarius and this Neptune influence with Aries, right? We have a couple more things that are going to be lining up and that are going to be happening, we can't keep the rose-colored glasses on. That's, it's seeing the world through fear tint, right? Instead of looking at that filter and seeing it through the filtered lens of like everything to fear, be afraid of this bit. No, we have to come into the clarity. What do I want to create? Forget all of that out there. Let's start to really look attention and pay attention to what is important for us, right? This Neptune vibe is like a higher octave of the planet Venus, which is the planet of love. Venus is about our personal values, what we love. Neptune wants to universalize those values, right? So it filters the world through the spiritual, moral, and idealistic lens, but at the same time, that lens if we're not careful, can become the veil through which we're looking through, which is why it's so important that Neptune now goes into Aries, because we need this clarity and we need it more than ever, right? So that is something important. Let me just see what else I have here. So let's see. Yeah, you know, I highlighted something here that I thought was important, because we have Neptune in Aries until 2039, right? And we have Mercury going into Pisces, conjuncting Pisces at the very last degree, which is very, very important. It's the 29 degrees of 59 seconds. Stop. Lasagna, 1 second. And it's in Pisces, which is the last sign. And this is a significant ending, right? This is pinpointing that something massive is about to change. And so, what is it that is going to be brought forward? Because this is like the handing of the torch into the new age, into the new world that's being created, right? So, there's something that is going to be. Something that's going to become clear in some way, shape, or form, like some kind of important insight or some kind of important spiritual intelligence or a new way of seeing things, a new mission, a new momentum, a new something new, right? And it's going to be so important and so big that it might be like cinematic, right? It might be very dramatic in the way that it comes out, but that's something that we can be expecting as Mercury goes into Pisces, re-entering and going back into Pisces for one last second, right? Like one last second. How are we going to see this play out? What is that bringing through? What is the information that's going to be coming through, right? And so we have to remember there's a lot of things at play here. I just want to give you the pieces to the puzzle so you know it's not just about Neptune and Aries. But we have Pluto, which spends about 20 years in each sign, right? It spent 16 years in Capricorn. We saw that come to an end when it moved into Aquarius, Capricorn, from Capricorn into Aquarius, the next sign, right? And it sets the evolutionary tone. Then we have Neptune, which is about 14 years in a sign, and it defines the vision or the spiritual climate of the evolutionary tone. Okay. And then the next planet is Uranus, and it spends about 7 years in each sign. And it manifests change through disruption and innovation and awakening, because Uranus is the great awakener. See, Pluto will be the wrecking ball that takes everything and levels the playing field. It's like we're done with this. Let's bring it all down. We'll sift through the rubble, and then we'll have Neptune redefine what the vision really is. Okay, new vision now. Now that we've collapsed the whole playing field, we have a new vision. And then Uranus says, okay, this is how we're going to get it done, right? Innovation and awakening. This is how we're going to get it done. Now we have a clear vision through the awakening. And now we want to set the innovative tone here, how this is going to move forward, right? So Pluto in Aquarius is dismantling the hierarchical power structures, breaking it apart because everything is outdated, the institutions, the ideologies, all of that done, right? And the goal is for a world where power is distributed evenly, where there are networks, communities, and individuals that can become the new engines of change. That's why it's important for everything that we're doing here, right? Don't take anything for granted. If you were called to do pottery, you were called to do pottery for a reason, right? And I'm using that as an example. But, you know, something even like that, don't take that for granted, right? My move here, I don't know. If I wasn't here or I had that client, I guarantee you that chicken probably would be dead. She probably wouldn't have survived, right? Because that the peacock would have pecked her to death. Everything it takes for happens for a reason. I'm here because I'm supposed to be here. I'm here because I'm meant to be here. That is so clear to me. There is nothing more truer to me in this moment than that. Okay? So look at where your truth lies and what is true for you in each moment. The next 2 decades will be focusing on empowering people and not just systems, right? Everybody is important. So, Neptune in Aries is going to awaken the sovereign self. There'll be a reclamation and a rediscovery to our identity where we take spiritual ownership of our path, right? We're going to see a lot of people pulling away from these big platforms that are they put on pedestals and come into smaller spaces like this one, like Arlene, like other people, like Sue, like I think Christine, who does integrative energy therapy. That's something too. I don't think she does it online, but if you're in Long Island, I think you can jump into her classes with that. But you know, this is where the change is going to happen. We're going to come back into more of the community, but in a different way, in a sovereign way, instead of looking to somebody that is just going to be the leader and have control over all of us, right? I'm giving you things to key points to think about and things to put in your own perspective and how you feel about it, right? So it's going to shift us from this passive place of Pisces with Neptune in Pisces where it was a vast ocean, and we're just floating in the ocean, and nobody has any charge or control. And now there's actually going to be some charge and control because, like I said, I keep saying it, and I will keep saying it. Aries likes structure. It likes structure, right? So that's important. And then we're going to have for a couple of years Uranus in Gemini, right? Until 2033. It's going to go into Gemini this year. And as it steps in, it's gonna offer new technological opportunities, right? It's gonna be a facilitator to the technology industry as people awaken and communication becomes revolutionized, right? Learning, development, movement. In technology, right? New technologies are going to come to the forefront and start to reshape how we learn, how we connect, how we collaborate. And then Uranus and Gemini is probably going to bring more AI generated learning. I know that sounds scary, but it actually is not a bad thing. And more peer-to-peer systems, people learning from people, from other people, right? Instead of using a mass system that doesn't work anymore. It'll redefine mobility, media, education. It's just going to bring a lot of change, right? Set a lot of change into the future. Pluto is going to set the agenda. Neptune is going to infuse it with meaning, and Uranus is going to bring it to life. Okay. Everything has to shift. It's just the way it works. It's just how this is going to be. Now, let's talk about the energies at hand because I want you to all understand this. Okay. We're in solar maximum. And we're shifting into the cosmic energies now of what's happening with the sun, right? Because that's what we're all feeling. So I gave you the synopsis of the shift that we're undergoing right now with Neptune going into Aries and what that's going to look like, and Uranus and Gemini, and how Pluto in Aquarius is going to work and what we can expect. It's going to be great. It's going to be great. A lot of people are going to feel pain through it though, because then they're going to be in resistance and not want to shift. They're just, a lot of people don't want to take responsibility for their sovereignty and leave it to somebody else. We know better, so it won't be so overwhelming to us, right? But now let's shift into the solar activity of the sun. Okay. The sun is in a cycle called solar maximum. We have solar minimum, we have solar maximum. Solar maximum is an 11-year cycle. The sun goes back and forth between this cycle every 11 years. Okay. So think back 11 years prior would put us at 2014. And then 11 years prior to that would put us at like 2003, right? So you could see where you were at those times and what might have been taking place for you. But every time, as far as I could tell, right? This is just my observation. Every time we go into a solar maximum, we have experienced a titch more heightened activity, right? So each time the sun evolves into a next cycle of solar maximum, it seems more dramatic to me. Okay. So it's what it means is the sun is in a highly reactive state. It's being influenced by the planetary shifts. That's why we talk about them, because it's important for us to have that information. Okay. And there are some things that we need to understand that we need to know, because we're probably going to be talking about it a little bit more as we're seeing it playing out. You might be hearing it, but I want you to have the information that you are going to need in case you hear people talking about G4, geomagnetic activity, sunspots, solar flares, coronal mass ejections, so that you understand what they are. Okay. So, sunspots, when we have a solar maximum, sunspots are heightened, right? They happen more frequently, not less frequently. And so, sunspots, because of the nature of the sun's organic matter, they actually originate from darker, cooler areas of the sun's surface. Okay. And they are caused mostly by very intense magnetic field interruptions. So believe it or not, like, some star exploding a galaxy away eventually will impact the sun, and it will impact the magnetic field around the sun. Now, when the sunspot erupts, right, the sunspots on the sun, when they erupt, if they're Earth facing, so if the sunspot is on the side of the sun that faces the Earth, that is looking down and shining towards the Earth, it's going to impact us. If the sunspot is on the opposite side, we're not going to feel it. Okay. And if the sunspot is big enough and fast enough, it will hit the Earth's atmosphere, the geomagnetic field or the magnetosphere, whatever you want to call it, in a few months, all right, or a few hours, depending on how fast and how big it is, all right. And because of the nature of sunspots, they have the ability to knock out technology, especially satellites. Now, one of the things that I keep hearing is that the number of satellites out in space right now, between our satellites, Russia's satellites, and the SpaceX satellites that Elon Musk has out there, that all is weighing on the cosmic infrastructure of the solar system. Whether or not it's interplaying directly in what's taking place with the sun, I don't know. I'm not a geophysicist, so I don't know. But I am keeping my eyes and ears and self open to receiving this information to see if anybody has any inkling on that. Solar flares and coronal mass ejections, right? Coronal mass ejection happens, and then we have a solar flare. Coronal mass ejection is like a volcano erupting, okay? Very, very powerful eruptions where the sun's surface has this blast of eruption, like a volcanic eruption. And because of the nature of the sun's surface and the eruption, it spews out plasma and, in some cases, protons toward the Earth or towards us, right? If it's on the same side, Earth facing, and it happens on that side, we will feel it. Now, these anomalies, right, solar flares and coronal mass ejections are more volatile and higher in number during solar maximum. Okay, so we're going to see more of those. In the case of a solar flare coming to the Earth or affecting the Earth or the force outward of the coronal mass ejection, because both have an effect that you know, if you think about in a volcano and it goes, right? And then the wah pot is the spewing of debris, right? But that force that the debris came out with, that's going to impact the Earth. The debris that came out, that's going to impact the Earth, right? Now, those times of how fast it gets to the Earth, much, much faster than sunspots, because for most solar flares, they will hit the Earth within 15 to 18 hours. Very, very fast, okay? Because they travel very, very fast. So we're feeling solar flares very consistently right now, okay? Monday, which was the day that the peacock attacked the hen, that morning I woke up to 17 notifications on my phone from the space weather app saying that we had all of these volatile eruptions, mostly geomagnetic storms. So the geomagnetic storms are caused by heightened solar activity, okay? And the geostorms are ranked as geo 1, 2, 3, 4. I haven't seen a geo 5 storm, not that I know of. And then they have what's called a KP index. KP index goes from 1 to, I believe, 9. We had a geostorm the other day that was a G4, which is high, and it was a KP index of 8, which means the KP index is the velocity or the intensity to which the geomagnetic storm fluctuations, the activity is pushed out, right? It's like how, what the velocity, what the rate of speed that it's moving at is measured, okay? And because of the nature of a geomagnetic storm, it's a disturbance in the magnetosphere, the electromagnetic field of the Earth. And if you think about the idea of an Earth storm, right, when we have a rainstorm or a snowstorm, it's the same basic thing. It's a solar wind blast, right? It's not rain, it's not snow, but it's like this heavy solar wind that's filled with plasma, protons, all kinds of debris. And so if it's on the side of the sun that's facing the earth, we're going to feel it. That's when we get the headaches, we feel tired, we need to sleep, we get the pain in the body. What else do I want to say? It's just it's a big impact on the it's a big impact on the earth, right? It's a massive spewing of debris and particles and light that hits the earth. So it's going to affect everybody differently. And everything that hits the earth and affects the earth's magnetosphere or electric magnetic field, whichever you want to call it, is going to affect us because we're tied to the earth through our electromagnetic field, which is why we have ascension symptoms, essentially, right? So those are the anomalies that we're feeling on a regular basis, okay? And sometimes it's a geomagnetic storm and it's categorized by a G1 through a G4 or even higher. We had I think a G4 back in March. So it's not like it's an anomaly to have a G4 storm. Higher classifications, that would be more impactful. But what I am seeing as I'm tracking this is I am seeing that the intensity level is going up. And although I believe Puerto Rico is an entity that has a very weakened electrical grid. I do believe that the last geostorm that we had was so intensely focused, meaning that it sent so much debris because it was a G4 with a KP index of 8, which is high intensity because the KP index only goes to 9, that it knocked out the power grid. So their electronics went offline. And some areas were reporting around the countries. Canada, Europe, here in the States, that they were having problems with Zoom and Spotify and some other communication entities like that, right? But this is why we are having heart palpitations. This is why we might feel like, I know some people reached out to me who felt like they were having a heart attack. Right? Because the heart is going through a state of expansion. If we're not expanding into love, into compassion, into grace, then we are going to need something that's going to help us expand a little further. Now, if, sometimes we can feel like we're already in an expanded state, but because also at the same time what's happening now on the earth is we're in this time of what's called memory, we're all going to be remembering who we are, okay, at the deepest level in the way that it comes. Sometimes that heart activation will create the opportunity for heightened memory, and then it will bring us to a very emotional state, like heightened state of tears, right? Like I think Arlene had that the other day, where she was right in the middle of a YouTube video and started crying, right? And couldn't really stop the crying because it was so potent and so powerful. Do you want to talk about that for a second, Arlene?
Hi. Yeah, sure. It was just interesting. I was already sensing like such unique energy that morning, and I knew something was different. Something was, I don't know, I could feel like expansion and stuff, and then I was definitely feeling it in the heart, and I just kept feeling like my heart wanted to break open. Like it was just like it was needing to break, and in that break, it was like to finally break, I just kept hearing breaking, and it was going to equal freedom. And then yeah, and then I started doing the video just talking about the energies I was sensing and what I was picking up on, and yeah, and it's just I just kept getting hit by like just intense
Waves.
waves of like of emotion, and I just kept wanting to cry, I kept wanting to cry, but it was same time was also like this immense feeling of love too. But yeah, just like I just felt like I needed to cry because I needed to break free, even though I didn't know what I needed to break free from or what it was, but I just knew that it needs to break open, it needed to be broken free so that I could be free.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah,
Yeah.
it makes complete sense. Yeah, because that's what the heart does, right? It needs to be broken open so we can, because if you think about it, the heart is really where we start to access our higher states of consciousness, right? Everybody thought it was the crown, but it never was the crown. It's always the heart energy where we come from with that. So powerful. Yeah, thank you. Sue, you want to share about the tincture?
Well, I was feeling a month ago that we need Divine Mother support big time. So I took the motherwort that I had and put it in vodka, and then today I strained it, and I really felt like Terry might be able to use some because his mom is progressing in her dementia, so I thought it might support that disintegration of, mother's support in his life. So I think I went out the day that you made that video, Arlene, and I saw my chamomile sprouting up in my planter, and I started to cry. It was like, oh yeah. I would really like to grow just a few herbs in our new place, and and all of this stuff came flooding in, and it was like, 'cause I was asking, there's two places that would be really great, and the one place has like a little postage stamp of a yard in the back, and it was like, okay, now I get it. Like, yes. There's not a lot around there. It's been farmland, unicropping, and it's like it needs some life. That land wants to grow some beautiful energy. And it's like, okay, I get it. I finally got it. But I cried because it all came together and the energies were, oh my goodness, they've been so strong. I just feel like I have electrical current running through my whole body, like 24/7, like for days now. So, yes, definitely feeling everything.
Yeah, I mean, motherwort is a great ally for heart, right? For really re calming down the nervous system. And if you still get your period and you have cramps and stuff, it can also assist and support that. But it's a really good ally for the heart. So if anybody feels like you need some support with that, motherwort definitely is a healer ally that I would absolutely recommend. Thank you, Sue, for bringing that to the table today and for sharing. Does anybody else have anything that they want to share or need support with? Where these energies are going to be nonstop. I'm going to be sending out a newsletter again. I haven't done a big newsletter blast in a while to like my whole newsletter community. They probably don't even remember I'm here, but I'm going to send an email and be like, by the way, I'm no longer in New York, just in case you're looking for me. So heart palpitations definitely right there on the forefront. These energies are spreading the heart wide open, so be prepared for that, right? We want to qualify it and make sure that we're not having a heart attack or a stroke, right? Know the symptoms for those so that you're not ignoring just in case. But there's a lot of Kundalini activating energy out there that's taking place. So we want to welcome heart expansion, right? Crystals are popping like crazy. Since I've been here, I've been having breakouts all over my arms, all over the place. I had a third eye crystal that's Not really gone. I feel like it's still like a little bump there, but it's at bay for now. I had a little cluster right here. I've had them in my hair. There's one on my root chakra that is, it comes, it goes, it comes, it goes. It's just, the when we're doing the work and doing what we have to do, it goes away. And then sometimes something will trigger and then it pops back out again as we're clearing something, so I'm just, we'll let it be. Don't try to pop them. These two, I must have scratched at night or whatever. And then I felt the little crystals pop out. It looks like a piece of citrine sand is what it looks like when they come out. Don't try to pop them. We want to leave them alone. If you don't pop them, they'll usually go back in and integrate, right? It's the body going through the process of the crystalline light body upgrades. Another thing that you might be experiencing is excessive thirst or excessive urination. You might hardly be drinking anything, but you're excessively going to the bathroom. That's me, right? Like I have been having that. So if excessive thirst or excessive urination, don't panic. That falls in line with ascension. I know we would normally run for urination and think either I'm having a problem with my kidneys or I have diabetes or I have something like that. No storytelling. Okay. No telling a story about an illness or sickness in your body. We're not doing that anymore. Step into your Aries sovereignty. Everybody has Aries in their chart somewhere. Everybody can harness that Aries energy and really step forward and be your powerful self, right? Step into your sovereignty. No more health issues or no more health anomalies. Another one that Arlene had mentioned is this overwhelming feeling of emotions, crying for no reason or crying because all of a sudden you feel this enormous influx of love hitting your field and it will come out of nowhere and just feel so big. It feels so much bigger than we are that it'll just make you cry. It m might make you cry for days, right? Feeling the dimensions, that's a big one, okay, as we're moving through dimensional energy, seeing into the dimensions, seeing lights. What's important now more than ever is awareness of every aspect of your process, right? And to not hold fear to anything. I could never, and I know that into place because of the galactic stuff I did when I was a baby, but I could never go outside and stand out in the middle of darkness by myself. I could never do that, right? I was always in fear of the darkness. And that, again, comes from my galactic encounters when I was a baby, and a child, a young child. But now, here in the middle of the pitch blackness, I could actually go out in the middle of the night and stand outside, in the middle of the dark nothingness and just be out there with the stars and whatever's floating around space and feel extremely safe. Okay. So notice those shifts too, because it's very important for us to have an awareness to what is shifting within us. Okay. Don't forget that the headaches are, they're going to still come as we're going into crown expansion. In Arlene's community the other night, somebody had mentioned that they were seeing bright white light when they closed their eyes and they were meditating. That bright white light is the unification process of the two halves of the brain, right? The corpus callosum, which runs down the center of the brain, dissolves, merging the two halves of the brain. Sometimes we get bumps on our heads. I have one back here. I just let it be. It is what it is, right? And so we wanna know that sometimes, the forehead will get very, very sore. You might feel tender right in your hairline. That's all expansion energy. And something really important I forget to mention, but this is really a big one, right? You might wake up and look at yourself in the mirror and think, oh my God, I look so old. Like, why do I look so old today, right? That's an ascension upgrade. Okay. And then you'll go through the upgrade. And then a couple days later, you'll be like, wow, I look so young. Like my face is radiant. I look young, right? That's an upgrade. That's an actual thing. Okay. So do not discount that. If you go into the mirror and you look at yourself and you think, oh my God, I'm looking so old. I have to color my hair. I have to do my makeup different. I have to do this, that, whatever. Nope. That is an ascension upgrade. You are in the middle of an upgrade. You don't even know it because it's the DNA, right? It's the interaction of the DNA. So no judgment. Let yourself be where you are in this moment. Allow for whatever is unfolding. Make no judgment to it. It is what it is. Okay. There are so many different anomalies with ascension. We want to just allow the body to do what it does best without judging any part of it. Okay. Just let it do what it does. And so this way, your body can work however it needs to work in a way that's going to heal you in the highest way possible. Okay. Does that make sense? Okay. And again, as we always say, do not compare yourself to anybody else. Do not compare yourself to anybody else's journey. Do not judge yourself against anybody or anything. Live life in fullness, in happiness, in a state of complete joy, even if you don't know what is coming next, what the next step is, where you're supposed to head. It does not matter. Come from the highest place of joy within yourself and allow yourself to be in flow in every single minute. Okay. Seven years ago, I had a psychic medium tell me that I was going to move into a house with someone, it was a guy, she said, who spit shined his shoes. She's like, I don't know why I see this guy spit shining his shoes. And I thought to myself, I'm never doing that. Nope, not doing that. Not only am I not doing that, I'm not dating anybody that would have been in the military or in the police or anything like, nope, not happening. Nope. And I laugh every time Joe calls me or he comes home and we have conversations because he's always talking about how he can't stand having to shine his shoes every day. For he has to, he has to make sure his uniform is pressed and everything, but they want the shoes so shined up that you could see a reflection in them. And he's like, oh, I just hate it. It just, and I just reflected on that the other night, and I'm like, look at that, 7 years later, I'm not in a relationship with him. He's like my, I could say he's like my son, he's like my nephew, but we're in this harmonized situation where I am house sitting for him, and he's the one that they talked about spit shining the shoes. And at the time when this reading happened, it was like on a friendship level. We were sitting around a table, and the owner of the house, who knew this psychic medium very, very well, I didn't know her at all, was doing a reading. And then, like 2 years later, everything that was in the reading for me came to pass for the person who owned the house. Like she met this guy, they moved right in, then they moved like 2 years later, they moved someplace else and whatnot. And so I just always say, when somebody is when you're connecting to somebody and they're providing information and you're in that circle where that information is being provided, always pay attention because sometimes information is piggyback and it might not play out immediately. Like the person that owned the house, it played out for her like literally 2 years later. It played out for me 7 years later, right? Hers is an actual physical relationship with the guy she's with. This for me is like family. It's like living with family, right? I've known Joe a very long time, probably 10 years, you know, that we've known each other. So it's really important to just always come from that higher place that everything and anything is possible. We just never know, right? Because everything and anything is possible. Okay. And so I just thought I'd share that with you because I thought that was very, very interesting. I don't know why I was laying in bed and one night I just like all of a sudden had this, where I was like, oh my God, it actually happened. You know, I'm living with somebody who shines his shoes. I thought that was so funny. Because it just seemed like it was everything for this other person, and none of it resonated with me. You know, she kept asking me, he's got an M name like Michael. I'm like, no, his brother's Michael, but his last name is an M, right? Starts with an M. And so she got two things of that, right? But that just is validating that I know I'm where I'm supposed to be. Not that I needed that to validate I'm where I'm supposed to be, but it's just another thing that does validate where I'm supposed to be, right? So just pay attention. Always be present to be a receiver to what is being offered, right? Because we never know. Does that make sense? And it's always fun to take in information and see how it might fit in our reality. Okay. All right. Anybody have anything before we go? Because I think we're going to end here. Anybody else? Any questions or anything? No? Okay. I know that this was a lot to take in today. Hopefully, you find it useful. The energy stuff and the layout of what is transpiring as we're heading into this next life-changing phase. It's like we opened a door and we're stepping through the door on a new path, a new journey. We have to honor. This is so big, it's beyond our comprehension right now, because nobody knows what Neptune is in Aries is really going to bring, right? I gave you the highlights of everything that I feel, that I intuited, some of what I've seen from astrologers, because I'm not an astrologer, just but I do a decent job tuning in to know what we need to know here, to stay in flow and to stay above what is playing out. So that is what I offered. All right. So again, keep an eye on these energies. They're going to tell you what's taking place. If you have a massive headache, it's probably a G storm. Okay. So, thank you guys for joining me today. I love you all. Go in
You
peace.
too.
All right. Be well. Love you guys. Our next class is next Wednesday night.
Thank you.
All right. Love you. See you
Love
soon.
you.
Bye.
Bye.